One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. And listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
You're listening to the Degenerate Podcast. I'm Ryan Shores. With me, as always, is my producer, Robert Timothy.
How you doing?
And filling in for Mr. Dave Callens, we've referred to him many times as the fourth member of this show, Mr. John Grooves, everybody. How's your elbow?
Metal.
Yeah. I have a friend that has just broken up with his girlfriend for the 106th time. I don't know if you guys have had this before, but it's so maddening when you have either people that continuously announce their grandiose breakup with their significant other or their newly found sobriety continuously, and then they want you to show them the same enthusiasm on the 11th time as you did the first time. I don't know if you've ever had that with a friend.
The nice thing is, if you think about it, sobriety is basically a breakup as well.
Yeah. So
every time they're announcing their breakup, they're just like, I'm in the 12-step program for dick. Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is. I mean, it's like when you break up with alcohol, that now I'm like, well, this is awkward. I mean, I can't have them both at the same party now. Ooh, I guess that one's not coming to my New Year's bash.
All that Foster's can is talking to those Marlboro Lights. I don't want them knowing about each other.
I feel like I'm more supportive when they say, I'm done with her. And I'm like, good job, man. You know, she's right. She's a piece of shit. Like, get your life back, you know, become you again.
Right.
Then when they're like, yeah, we're going to give it another chance, I'm like, I like you guys, but not together. Like,
yeah. You know. Well, you know, it's even worse when you talk a bunch of shit on them and then they get back together and then there's an awkwardness.
Yeah. Well, I've learned that a long time ago, not to do that. But
that is a lesson I want to teach my son at a very early age.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're going to have
you
a lot of friends.
You should have been starting by now.
Yeah, right. You're going to have a lot of friends who break up. Don't ever go right for the jugular on your buddy's girlfriend who's broken up.
No.
Because let me tell you the timeline of events. They break up. You're supportive. You talk trash about her. Then all of a sudden they get back together. Now your buddy won't talk to you for a good long while.
Yeah.
That's only the first stage, by the way. The second stage is when he later, then in some kind of pathetic discussion they have, admits to her that you talked shit about her.
And it will happen.
Yeah. It will happen.
Tell each other everything, Groobs.
And at that point, now you're in a different level of shit. Because now it's not just, he's a little weirded out and kind of embarrassed about the thing, and I talk some shit about his girl. Now it's, she hates me, and that will never change.
Yeah.
And, well, the good side of that is, if she's that toxic, she's going to break up with him again.
Yeah.
And in my experience, then it's really awkward when they start, hey, so I know we haven't spoken in months, but do you want to hang out?
Yeah, and here's what you do with your buddy who does the breakup thing. Hey, buddy, I'm totally behind you, 100%. Sorry it hurt your feeling. Leave her out of it. Just don't mention a word about it. Stick on his side the whole time. And then when it comes back around, you know, if they do get back together, every once in a while you can just go to her and be like, I always told him that you were a catch.
Well, yeah. Well, what my thing is, when a friend first tells me they broke up with a significant other, I'm like right on their side. I'm like their quarterback. I'm like, I'm so sorry. We're going to get you through this. Let's go have a beer. Let's go talk about this. You know, we'll get you back out there. And then, you know, by that Sunday, they're back together. And this pattern keeps repeating. So I, like I said, lose more enthusiasm every time they announce this breakup until it gets to this point where I'm like, suppose you heard about me and Sasha. Like, all right, you guys back into it. Oh, man, it's really done this time. Okay. No, seriously, man. It's... things were said that can't be unsaid. You're blocking the TV. And they get really pissed off at me. They're like, no, seriously, man.
Yeah.
We're really... And then that's when you get like a... Guess I found out who my real friends are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I a lot of people I've been in bands with after the bands broke up, I still keep them on Facebook. And
right.
A couple of them have gone through some... rough patches with drugs and stuff, and that's fine. They went to sober houses and whatnot, and they got better for a while. But then it was like the breakup with the girlfriend, where it's like, yeah, I'm sober again.
Yeah.
And every week it was like, well, what? When were you not sober? Like, why are you reminding me of this? Like, I thought you were constantly like, oh no, I got kicked out of the halfway house, and
Every time I see one of those friends in my hometown that with the like sunken in eyes and just like skin hanging off their body, they always got to tell me they've been clean 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh.
But you know what's funny, though, is the difference is there are a lot of people who it takes like 12 trips to rehab or 12 relapses or whatever before they're finally clean, right?
Yeah.
How
well, just like a toxic relationship. Right. You got to break up maybe 20 times, or your friend has to break up maybe 20 times before they're clean, but you can't like...
Sort of. But the difference in this one, I would guess, is that... being in the relationship is your goal, so to speak, if you're going to be with this person, right? You're trying to be back in this relationship. Whereas with the alcohol, your goal is to quit it, right?
Not be in the relationship
eventually
with alcohol.
Eventually, you okay. hope they succeed
yeah.
in their goal. You're like, right. I really hope you stop drinking, and if it takes 12 times, I'm going to support you to whatever extent that's ethical, those 12 times, and I want you to be sober. The back and forth breakup thing is the opposite, though, because every time they're back in the relationship, you're like, oh, I hope you fail at what you're trying to do.
Well, there's that, but when they say, I guess we're done, you know, we broke up, and it's like the 20th time you told them, you still want them to be broken up, because now that's your goal for them,
right, yeah.
And it should be, in the moment, it's their goal, too, but you know it's not going to last.
And I get wildly confused by the things that other people forgive in their relationship, too, because, I mean, we all have problems, you know, but when me and John are into it with our old ladies, we usually go out for a beer together, play a little pinball and just bitch about them, and it's fine. But the problems we have is like she got all jealous and said something she shouldn't have said.
She was talking when I was trying to sleep.
Yeah, you know, I said something I shouldn't have said about you know, and it's all just, you know, argumentative stuff.
It's just right. It's the normal stuff that happens when you cohabitate with someone,
and sometimes you there's moments where you're really not proud of yourself about how you treated them.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's never something so extreme, but some of these guys, it's like, yeah, well, me and Sasha are giving it another go. I'm like, I thought you caught her blowing a guy. Yeah, well, you know, just trying to get past that. Like, get past that!
Wait, didn't she shoot your mom?
Yeah, I thought she sold all your belongings and gave it to a dealer she was banging.
Right, and when
yeah.
It used to be, you know, 15 years ago, that was between you and them and maybe some of your close friends and her close friends. Now that Facebook is around,
yeah.
It is broadcast, and what I've always found hilarious, at one point, I had a buddy who did the stupidest thing ever. Don't do this. I had been advising him for a year or 2 years to break up with this girl who was very, very toxic, exactly what you're talking about, like literally burned his stuff in the backyard.
Ugh.
And I had been advising him, hey, guy, you need to get out of this, you need to get out of this. Finally, he did. He was an old buddy from college. And he broke up and then did the thing where he tagged me in his breakup.
Why?
He's like, Facebook?
Yes. He was like,
no.
Well,
he's like, taking everyone down with the ship at
right,
that point.
Right. Well, it was one of those like, hey, I lost 130 pounds of useless weight, man. And like, you know, put that up.
Yeah.
Thanks for all my buddies who helped me out. And he tagged me and like four or five
she
of our friends.
125.
Yeah. She's got a list like Arya Stark, everyone who was tagged
yeah.
in that.
Yeah. And he tagged a bunch of us in it.
Why? That's terrible.
He goes, like a sober person who's doing well in their recovery, he goes like a year and a half, doesn't talk to this girl, he's totally fine. They meet up again casually one time on complete accident, and within 4 days they're dating again.
No!
Like a year and a half later. Like he's gone so well
yeah,
a year and a half
yeah,
later.
Off the wagon.
2 years comes around, and on my Facebook feed, hey, this day 2 years ago.
Oh, no.
Oh,
it's his
fuck.
Constant stream of insults
yeah.
about this fucking bitch. She burned my AYSO soccer trophies in the backyard. She used to call my mom a cunt and like all this stuff. And I'm like, you realize any one of us who was on that tagged list, that pops up on our Facebook feed, and any one of us could go, let's share this with the world. What were we doing 2 years ago?
Yeah, no, it's so harsh to see your friends stuck in that situation. But alcohol and drugs, you're powerless unless they really want it.
Well, one of my friends from back home, about a year ago, he got out of a really long term relationship, and I said, well, you know, go on Tinder. Do you know a lot of my single friends have a lot of success with that, and you know, they meet a lot of girls. He did that. He went on, I think, 3 dates, and they stood him up. And he's like, "Fuck this, man! I can't do this. I don't have the patience for this." I'm like, "You gotta like take the shotgun approach,
right?
You know? Yeah. You know, then you're not all gonna call you back, but eventually, you know, they will. And what else you got to do with your life? You know, at least you're hanging out, meeting new people." So he was like, "No, there's this girl from my high school. She hit me up on Facebook out of the blue, and she said her and her boyfriend just broke up, and he's kicking her out of the apartment. So I'm gonna let her move in with me."
Oh no!
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah. And I'm like, "This doesn't sound good." He's like, "Yeah, well, she's got a kid." And I'm like,
"Oh no!"
Yeah, I'm like, "Well, I'm like," he's like, "She's hot, dude. I'm gonna bang her." I'm like, first of all, don't shit where you eat.
Yes.
Like, if this goes south, you're stuck with a new roommate
yes.
who is, like, repellent to other girls if you try to bring
And by the way, what a predatory plan. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, a single mother needs a place to stay.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to make her have sex with me for it.
Yeah. Not his proudest moment.
No.
But, actually, it's up there. But, but yeah, she... And then not only that, but it sounds fishy. I'm like, there's more to this story. Like,
right.
The ex-boyfriend wouldn't suddenly just kick her out, like, and his kid.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like... There's,
like Scrooge
there's
McDuck just like kicking him out so he can dive into his money pit.
Now this is
I'm turning the kid's room into a coin vault.
Now this is back in Delaware where there's a huge heroin epidemic going on right now. I guess that was a spoiler alert, but so she moves in, they end up banging the first night, and then like for a week it's fantastic. He's coming home and she's like cooking meals and cleaning the house. And he's like, this is everything I've ever wanted. This is awesome. And then he comes home one night and she's not there. The kid's there. The baby's there, but she's not. And he's like calling her phone. She's not answering. She
that's not the number I'd be calling.
Yeah. She stumbles home. Yeah. So they're solving one of your problems.
Yeah. Well, CPS will be hearing about this.
But yeah, she stumbles home. She's strung out as fuck. And he's in denial. I was like, oh, she just got drunk. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like, you know, I'm here in San Diego trying to coach him through this.
That's just a worst excuse. Like, it's like, she left her baby unattended.
To get drunk.
Don't worry. She just got drunk.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. That's what I'm saying.
You're like, she literally has a syringe dangling from her arm. And he's like, yeah, she likes to inject vodka.
Yeah.
She's told me.
They don't do that in San Diego yet, man. It's all over the place here. It kept escalating to the point where, like, he'd come home. There's, like, weird guys in the house with her. And she's disappearing. She stole checks from him and forged them. She was in and out of rehabs. The kid ended up going back with her parents, I think.
I love that. What was his excuse for the checks? Like, she only stole the checks because she really
needed money. There was no excuse. That was one of those times that we were just talking about where he's like, this is it. I'm done with her.
Yeah.
Like, he even posted a picture of the forged check that she stole. And he's like, I'm done with this bitch.
She put 4 heroin in the memo lot. Who does that?
I mean, no, it'd be great if his excuse was like, yes, she forged the checks, but it was for beer. It wasn't for heroin.
Yeah,
I mean, she was just getting drunk.
Yeah. She really wanted to party.
This is a long story. I'm trying to tell the abridged version, but it escalated to the point where he had to put her in a rehab in Philly because she got kicked out of so many rehabs in Delaware. Then she disappeared from the rehab in Philly. He went up there, and one of the interns said, yeah, she just split.
Didn't he say something to the effect, I think you told me the story, where he's like, by the way, there's a crack house down the street that you usually go to.
The interns, he's like, listen, man, there's a house around the corner. A lot of the people who fall out of the program, they end up over there. He goes there.
I don't know why we don't call the cops on those people.
Yeah, he walks in and sees her blowing a drug dealer, and they're married now. They're married.
Her and the drug dealer?
No, my friend.
Muzzles off.
Now, at the time, he was the partner at a home improvement company making like 6 figures a year.
Wow.
The stress of this caused him to quit the job and take another job in sales, and it didn't work out. Then he ended up moving to Montana to live with his sister just to get away from her.
This is the most tragic tale of woe I've ever heard.
And then he flew her out there even after he drove across the country to get away from her. And usually when someone has a drug problem, they're the one that has to move away.
You go.
So now they're married.
By the way, let me just put it this way. Can you tell, even if groups hadn't said this, can you tell that she's hot? I mean, think of all of this.
You would think.
Oh, no, she's not even hot?
Yeah, well, maybe back in Delaware, but...
She's Delaware hot.
She's a Delaware 7?
Yeah.
You know what the thing is, though? I will say this for the heroin epidemic back in Delaware and in Philly, is they count themselves lucky that they don't have the meth epidemic that's going on here in California. At least it's not as prevalent. Because in Delaware and Philly, heroin addicts... they stay inside and then they die.
Yeah.
But meth people, they like to go out and bother people.
That is true.
Yeah.
There is definitely a decided hierarchy of people who will bother you based on the drug they're on. Alcohol is actually pretty high on that hierarchy.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of people run around drunk, causing fights.
We ran into one last night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. And, Don. Yeah.
Yeah, our friend Don. We went to our friend's... metal show at the Marrow.
Yeah, the No Name Gang was playing. We hope to have them on the show soon. They were playing this club. Me and Rubes went over in a cab, and we had tied on one before getting over there. Me and Grooves are very, we're conversational drunks, but the conversation is two ways. This gentleman just took a shine to us. I don't know what it is about my face that makes drunk people say, that guy wants to know everything about me.
I think it was the fact that there was a cigarette in your mouth and he wanted one was, yeah. was the issue. Because I was smoking...
Oh, that's right. I always have cigarettes. That's why this is happening.
I bought a pack of Black and Mild. I don't smoke cigarettes, but sometimes I'll have some cheap cigars at shows. And so I had the pack of Black and Milds, and he comes up and he goes, hey, can I get one of those? I'm like, there's five in a pack, man. No, you can't.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm not going to bullshit you. I just don't want to give you one. And he's like, well, you're terrible. And what he said, you're
a decent person.
Decent. Yeah. He called me terrible. Then he called Shores decent.
And then he decided that he was going to hang out
and follow us around like every time we went out for a smoke.
We were ditching this guy left and right. Yeah. It was ridiculous.
You guys should have had way more fun with him. That sounds like a prank master's dream.
So what would you have done, King of Pranks?
I mean, there's a lot of things you could do. First, you could see how many drinks you can get him to buy you.
He needed cigarettes. He ain't buying that
shit. Yeah, if he's bumming cigarettes, he's not buying drinks.
Well, the deal you make with him is, hey, bud, we found a guy over here. He's got a whole pack of cigarettes he'll give us if you buy him two beers. So just come on back here with two beers. Guy comes back. You and groups each take one of the beers and go, where are those cigarettes you promised us? And walk away. He'll be too drunk to know what went on.
I feel like...
I think I'm too hungover to even understand what you're just describing.
Yeah, you're probably right. Another thing I wanted to mention is it's very rare that someone says something that I adopt immediately into my own life policies. I mean, it has to be some profound shit for someone to say something and me to go, that just changed everything.
It was
me.
When the guy called you decent, right?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, he saw a bumper sticker that said, ass, gas, or grass. Nobody rides for free.
I'm going to start preying on addicted single mothers and having them move into my house for sex. I went down to the bay with my buddy Stoney the other day. He has a jet ski. I fucking love jet skis. I don't have one.
Nobody doesn't love jet skis.
Yeah. They're perfect.
Yeah, there's the whole Daniel Tosh bit about find me a sad guy on a jet ski.
And you know what? I was in an argument with Aaron that day. I was kind of bummed out. I got on the jet ski and opened it up.
Oh, yeah.
I was not sad at all on that water.
Absolutely. It's like a motorcycle, but on the water.
Yeah, unlike a motorcycle, if I wipe out, I'm just going to get a refreshing dunk in the water and climb back on. So anyways... He's got like a $10,000 ass kicker Sea-Doo. And he when I got there, he was there with his buddy. And his buddy goes, hey, Stoney, man, let me ride. He goes, fuck that, no way. And I can understand that. The fucking thing's $10,000.
Yeah.
But I'm like, well, I'm certainly not going to get a ride at them because this guy and him go way back. And we were sitting there having a beer, and he goes, hey, hands me the keys. He goes, you want to take it out for a spin? And I was confused because this guy and him go way back. And I'm like, well, I don't understand. I even asked him. I'm like, I'd love to go, but why didn't you let your longtime buddy fucking go? And he goes, here's how I have my life set up. I only let people use my shit that I have assessed and can afford to fix it if they break it.
Yeah.
And this gentleman's employment history is, let's say, not consistent. And so I'm like, what a great policy.
Yeah.
What a simple policy that I've never adopted. I've let people use my car who don't have a job. I'm like, what was I thinking with all this? I'm like, do you do this all the time? He's like, whether it's a jet ski or a blender, I assess the person and I decide if they can afford to fix it if they break it.
Yeah, it's a little bit of, can they fix it if they break it? And also, what is the likelihood that they're going to break it? Because we all have the friend who, if you hand him those jet ski keys, without exaggeration, there's a 50-50 chance you're getting it back in the condition that you gave it to
him.
Then there's the friend where you can hand them that jet ski key, and you could be 99.99% sure that, fuck it, the checkbook doesn't ever have to come out because they're not going to do shit to it.
And then there's the friend who brings you back either a better jet ski or two jet skis.
That'd be great. He's riding them like people do when they steal bikes in the ghetto. Like, sitting on one. Turning the handle on the other.
Yeah, man. And you know what? There are those people where you can flat out tell them, you fucked me over, and they go, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. On the flip side of that, though, there are friends I've lent money to who didn't have gainful employment at the time and took them forever to pay me back. And I have some friends who still owe me money. It's just like in a Bronx Tale where... you've assessed it. It's like, you know, for the guy owes you $20 and he's dodging you, for $20 you got him out of your life forever. You know?
Yeah.
You know, and there's some people I'm glad, you know, they're gone now.
Yeah. But I never give anyone any money I can't afford to never see again.
That's, oh yeah. I wouldn't be like, well, I don't like this guy, so I'm going to hope he burns my house down and not pay me back. You know,
no,
that's,
I mean for friends too, because that's how friendships break up. I've seen it. So anytime anyone's needed money, the response I give to them, if they're a really close friend, they're like, hey man, I need $5,000. I'll pay it back. I'm like, I'm going to give you $300. Don't pay it back. It's a gift, but I'll pay you back the $5. Keep the $300.
You heard him, guy at the bar who wanted the cigarette. Yeah. You could have gotten way more than that cigarette.
Should have set your sights a little higher, Don.
I asked to borrow a pack of cigarettes, and you could have gotten one.
Yeah, yeah. You do have to be in a certain inner circle to receive these benefits. Let me put that out there. I don't need a lot of Facebook messages when this airs. Hey, everybody, did you hear? All you have to do is ask Ryan for $5,000. He gives you $300.
Now, I think a better policy would be, hey, I need to borrow $5,000. You say, I'm going to set you up a GoFundMe. I'm going to set you up a Kickstarter. I'll do that for you. You don't have to pay me back.
Right.
And then, you know, your hands are clean.
Yeah, I once lent a car to a guy who was working for me when we were out in the desert. I was like, I have a work truck. I don't need this anyway. He's got no car. He can't get out of this shithole desert town for a day. I'll lend him my car. He can just borrow it for however long he needs it. I'm not using it. And it had been sitting in the desert for a long ass time, so I went and got a new battery, and I told him, oh, you know, just take it easy on it, see if there's any problems, and we'll make sure it's all good to go. He drove it one night, called me the next day, and went, it stopped working out in the middle of the desert. And I was like, oh, fuck. And I drove out to go see what it was, and he had blown the engine. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Jesus, that's I know it's hot out here, but that's pretty bad.
What, did you drain the oil before you used it?
No, he's like, yeah, because last night when I came home, it was smoking real bad. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, it was smoking real bad. And then, you know, like today, I only made it like 30 miles, and then it blew up.
Really?
And I was like, wait, so what had I looked? I checked, and basically what had happened is, since it had been sitting in the desert so long, almost all the radiator fluid had evaporated. He had driven it the night before and evaporated the rest. Like, basically, there was half of it left. He
so
evaporated.
No coolant
in it. Yeah, exactly. He had evaporated the last half. And I was like, dude, when all that smoke was coming, quote unquote smoke, it was actually evaporating radiator fluid. I was like, when all that was coming out, all you had to do was call me. I could have come, put literally a gallon of water in. This was a 20-cent fix.
Yeah.
And the car would have been absolutely fine. And why would you keep driving it trying to go 50 miles through the desert heat when there was like,
oh, hindsight's 20/20, Mr. Scientist.
And he was like, well. And he,
I already didn't do that. So
my favorite part was that he had a very kind of indignant idea. And he's like, oh, I suppose you're going to want me to pay for this now, huh?
How and I was dare like, you?
And he's working for me at the time. Like, I'm a manager. He's underneath me. And so I was like, he's like a field archaeologist. And I was like, no, just make the things weird. I don't want to make everything. Like, no, fuck it. Fine. So you just blew the engine.
And this was your personal truck vehicle. And not a company truck.
It was my personal car, and I had the company truck. So yeah. So he just blew the car up, blew the engine up on my car, and then never so much as a, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
Not even that.
The only thing I got was the indignant, I bet you're going to want me to pay for this now, huh?
So you were already in the desert. You could have buried him, and they would have never found
absolutely.
Him.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
And use a coolant bottle as a tombstone.
It doesn't even include the fact that I had to, by the way, attach a tow strap to this thing, hook it to the back of the company F-150, and drag it like 40 miles back to my place.
I think the only time I lent my car to someone who probably wouldn't have been able to pay me back if something happened was there was the first house I moved into.
Callens, and we don't know where he is.
Yeah, I missed that car. Back in Delaware, the first house I lived in when I moved out of my parents' house, there was a blizzard one year, and this really obnoxious friend of one of my roommates was over, and no one wanted to get stuck. We were all like bunkering in. We're going to, you know, be stuck in our house for a couple of days. No one wanted this asshole there.
If you live in San Diego, just imagine what we would do if it started raining.
Yeah, exactly. But the rain stays for a couple of days and piles up outside your house.
No, we don't need that. Once it's raining, we don't go on the streets. We're done.
So I let my roommate borrow my car.
There's a stack of fish aquariums outside your window.
I let my roommate borrow my car and drive through the blizzard just to get this guy home because none of us wanted to be stuck with him for 3 days.
And what kind of guy was he where you wouldn't want to be stuck with him? Like, was he obnoxious? Was he
it was, this is in our, you know, our punk house days. This guy was like, he had a chip on his shoulder, always trying to be more punk and more gross than everyone. He would just like yell cunt for no reason. Like just like I guess
someday when I'm mayor, I'm going to have Crust Punk declared a mental illness. Yeah. So it gets the help it deserves.
I'm sure you guys have seen like open mic comics who just get on stage and right. try to be as offensive as possible to get a shock gasp. Yeah. That was this guy's life pretty much. Mm. So imagine being at that open mic for 3 or 4 days.
That it's such a weird thing too. We totally take for granted in Southern California, the idea that there are places in this country where you might just get stuck someplace yeah. for days at a time based on the weather. You know, yeah. like literally the worst thing that happens with the weather here is you'll look outside and you'll be like, it's raining pretty decently. I think I might wait this out the next half hour before it stops.
Right.
And it's not because of the rain, it's because of the drivers right. in the rain.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of back in your old punk days, like I thought of something last night. So Groobs and I were hanging out at my house before we went out to the show. Erin was off to see the Deftones. I don't care for them too much, so I just sent her with a friend. And anyways, I realized something.
So you never send your girlfriend off with someone who can't afford to buy you a new one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if Mendez came home empty-handed, I'd be like, "Well, get to work, buddy. I'm gonna need one by October because someone's gonna walking down that aisle with me."
I just imagine he brings you like pieces, like she shattered like ceramic. He's like, "I suppose you want me to pay for this."
You didn't put coolant in her. Her ears are smoking.
She's been in the desert for 6 months, just sitting there.
So, anyways. We were hanging out, and I don't miss being single. I know a lot of people like lament, like, oh, back when I could get all these chicks. I'm like, yeah, it didn't really clean up that way. But
yeah, you look back with rosy-colored glasses.
Of course, really because do. You think back to those nights. Like, oh, I remember that one night.
Yeah, you remember the successes.
And that other night, and that other, and you're like, that was like 3 in a year's span of
yeah,
time.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, I realized last night there's only one thing that I miss about being single. It's the pre-going out ritual when your boys were at your apartment.
Oh, yes.
That was really the best. All the shit was ahead of you.
Yeah.
In your mind, you were going to get laid. In your mind, you were going to win a fight. In mind, you were going to fucking have all this amazing fun shit happen. It hadn't cut to the point where one of your friends went, "Where's the fucking chicks?" And you go, "Shut up. You always say that." And then someone threw a glass at a bartender and you're not right. allowed at that fucking yeah. bar anymore. All that hadn't happened yet, and you're fucking...
There's unlimited potential.
Yeah. One guy's combing his hair, the other was playing Nintendo, right. and you're pre-gaming. That was the greatest part of the night, I realized.
It's true, that. And then sometimes, if everybody struck out, if you got to come back and recreate that for the end of the night as well.
Once in a while, but there was always like one overly horny guy that thought he was going to get laid, didn't, then drank too much.
Yeah.
And now he's pestering, usually me, "Is there someone you can call?"
Just, yeah, you know, and that's the same chicks. Guy. That's the same guy who says he got cock blocked whenever he got turned down. Like if a girl yeah. has a friend there, oh, she totally cock blocked me. It's like, no, if a girl wants to fuck you, she's gonna fuck you. You know, you can like,
right?
There's not a lot her friend's gonna do to dissuade that. You know,
you're
just you're softening the blow for your ego.
By the way, any time that you thought you were doing well with a girl, and some girl came and went, it's girls' night, whisked her away. We used to call that the mother hen, and we're like, she mother hen me. But then I realized that girl probably got some rabies vibes, threw up the bat signal right. yeah. to her friend, and she came in for the rescue.
Yeah.
I don't think this was really that you were as robbed as you think.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that guy. Oh, but yeah, I had a friend where if I wasn't even in the equation, he'd blame me if it didn't go well. Like for once, like some girl was literally like trying to go home. He was like pestering her. He was like, you know, standing kind of in front of her car door so she couldn't get in the car. Like,
oh my God.
Hey, you know, I'm like,
he took the coolant out.
I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh, Billy, come on, man. Stop. Let's go, dude. And then finally, like,
it's your fault now.
Oh, yeah. Well, she got in the car and you could hear tires screech as she pulled away. And I was just trying to make him not look so rapey yeah. as he was. I'm like, come on, man, let's go.
Well,
it's
kind of for the girl's sake, but also kind of for your friend. Like, stop embarrassing yourself.
And also because you
want to fucking leave.
Yeah, and I don't want to be associated with that. The bar's been closed for 2 hours. My buzz is wearing off. And then we get in the car. I'm like, all right, let's go get a taco. You motherfucker!
Yeah.
I had it! I was in!
Yeah, it gets good. Like, after you get out of your early 20s and you get into, like, your mid-20s, there's a nice point where hopefully you and your buddies recognize, like, Maybe get laid tonight, maybe not, but that's not a big deal. We're going to go out and have a good time. And if you can extend that pre-party going out vibe for the entire night where you're like, hey, if we get laid, we get laid. If not, we're going to go out and have a whole bunch of fun.
Yeah, if it happens,
we're
going to
go ride the bull at Roadhouse. Yeah. We're going to go dance. We're going to go dueling pianos thing and yell obscenities at them when they ask for what song we should play.
Yeah, your early 20s is like, it's like a, like, primitive tribe of hunters. Yeah, you're going out to stalk your prey, and you know,
and you're not really people yet. Like,
absolutely.
To my wife, I'm like, I think girls figure it out earlier, and they figure out how to be human beings. They get the empathy down thing earlier. Men at that age, we're not humans yet. Like, we should be sent off to a specific island away from the rest of humanity, and just allowed to go wild, Lord of the Flies.
That would be
style.
The grossest fucking island on the flat planet.
No available Kleenex.
Now let me ask you guys something. I got a question for you. Which friend was worse? I'm going to give you a couple types here. The we got to get laid tonight guy, and bases the whole night around that, and no matter how much fun you had, if he didn't get laid, the whole night was a wash.
That was actually most, if not all, of my friends, possibly including myself.
So there's that guy. Then there's the you always cockblock me guy we just talked about.
Yeah.
Or who is this guy worse? The calls dibs on everybody.
Oh,
guy.
My fucking God. And
because he's quote unquote in love with them.
And two and three are not mutually exclusive either.
No, yeah, they're not.
They're not. I had a couple of those dibs friends.
I wouldn't even put any of those guys in the category. I always think the worst one is the guy who gets drunk and is unable to contain it. Because I am fine with the guy. You can get as shit-faced as you want as long as you are able to babysit yourself. If you get super drunk and your whole deal is like, I'm pretty wasted, I think I'm going to pass out on your couch, I'm all for you. You sound like a great guy. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight.
Yeah.
But if you're the guy who gets super drunk and either A, thinks everybody around you looks like they want to get punched in the face, or B, is going to start yelling, crying, vomiting, making himself the burden on you. He's basically the drunk chick at your party.
Yeah. I never had any crying friends.
Oh, I definitely had a buddy or two who broke down crying when he was shithoused.
I had one that the only time I saw him cry is we got in a fight while I was driving. We're sitting there punching each other in the head like the Three Stooges.
I told you to put cool in it.
Yeah. I-95, we picked up some girls who were in the backseat with our other friend.
Up some girl on the highway?
No, there was a girl I liked, and I was talking to her back in the day on AOL Instant Messenger. She's like, yeah, I'm dying for some cigarettes, but I can't leave the house. I'm like, well, me and my friend are going to be up your way. We can drive by your house and toss a pack of cigarettes in your window. She's like, oh, I'd fucking love that. I'm like, all right, well, I'm getting brownie points here, you know, when she's off grounding. Maybe this will pay.
And don't
off.
Worry, people. John was still only 27 when this happened.
Yeah, this was last week. But, at one point, I made a joke about her tying a rope ladder and escaping out of her window, during the AIM chat. So we get up there, she opens her window, and I throw a pack of cigarettes in, and then she tosses a rope ladder out made of her bed sheets all tied together. And I'm looking at this like, this is the worst fucking idea. I'm like, don't do this.
It'd be great if he just looks back and forth, pulls out his lighter, slowly.
But she got 1 foot on the rope ladder and then just fell from the second story window and belly flopped on her parents. Like, it was like a McMansion in like a racy part of town. Like, just belly flops in these manicured shrubs. So she gets up and dusts herself off, and I'm just stunned. Like, my jaw's on her lawn. And I'm like, are you okay? And she smiles and goes, ouch. And I'm like, all right, cool. So
I forgot the cigarettes.
Yeah, she looks back up to the window.
But so we take her in the car, and I'm like, so, how are you going to get back? I don't think you can climb up that ladder. She's like, oh, I'm not going back. I'm like, what?
What?
Yeah. She's like, let's go to my friend's house. So we went to her friend's house, who I guess she had pre-planned this with. The friend comes out. And
now you're the accomplice to like this runaway.
Yeah. This like girl gang runaway situation. Oh. And I don't like her friend either. So I wasn't happy. But I'm like, well, I got my friend with me. Maybe I can pull him off. And I was like, oh, let's go get our other friend, because I know he actually likes this friend and maybe the problem will solve itself.
Right.
So then we get, it's like turning into like a teenage clown car situation where we just keep picking up more and more people. So it's two of my friends, these two girls, and then we have nothing to do. We're just all driving around in my car, listening to Black Flag or whatever the fuck we're listening to at the time. And the only thing open was a gas station diner in Jersey. So we drive over there, we eat, and then the whole time my one friend is just acting like a fucking prick to me. I have no idea why. To this day, I still don't know like what his problem was. But like, I want to sit next to the girl that I essentially kidnapped at this point at the diner.
And in the eyes of the law, you definitely...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I didn't actually call dibs, but you know, you think that would give me some kind of honorary dibs or something.
I did toss the cigarettes through the window. Yeah.
The rope ladder was my idea. Yeah. You know, I was driving this fucking operation. But he'd
be great if they're like, whoever pelts her with the pack gets it.
Now, who would win in an argument? Sorry to interject. But you always cockblock me guy or dibs on everybody guy. Get them in the same car.
Like I said, they're not mutually exclusive. Yeah. I had one friend who was both. He called dibs on everything, and then
when it didn't work out, you
cockblocked. It never worked out. We somehow cockblocked. I was like, well, they must have saw you.
What?
Yeah. But anyway, so the girl sits down, and I go to sit down next to her, and this guy flies in like almost cartoonishly fast and jumps my spot to sit next to this girl. I'm like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. And, you know, the whole time during dinner, he's, like, taking cheap shots at me and shit. And then we're driving out of there, and I was like, let homegirl get the passenger seat. Let her get a shotgun. And he's like, nope, I'm taking it. And he sits shotgun. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
Yeah.
So my one friend who stayed out of this whole, like, dick measuring contest is in the back seat with both girls. And
see, he's the smart guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he played it cool. I'm sitting up front next to this dickhead. And while we're driving on 95, he just puts my fucking car in neutral.
What?
On the major highway. And, you know, the sun's rising up. We're all fucking tired. He slams the car into neutral.
Not in the mood for that right now.
I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? I put it back in the drive, and he does it again. He starts laughing. So he had a big mohawk. I grabbed him by his mohawk, and I said, what the fuck is your problem? And I threw him, and his head hit the window. And I was like so fucking pissed off. And all of a sudden, my head hits the window, and my other side of the head hurts because I realize he punched me while I'm driving.
In the side of the fucking head?
Yeah, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? So then we're like...
He's like, he didn't hit you just above the jaw. You could have gone to sleep while driving. Yeah. No joke.
No, we're sitting there, like, we're slugging each other like two of the Three Stooges. The two girls are horrified in the back seat, screaming.
Yeah, no one's getting laid.
Yeah, and then my friend in the back seat with them in the middle just starts laughing hysterically at us at our zany antics.
Yeah,
and,
the dude in the middle, his job is to get the passenger in a chokehold. That's your job when you're in the back.
Right.
But,
speaking of disaster shores, I have some interesting news about our upcoming debate this week.
Ah, yes.
So very, very interesting. I've been obviously talking to the other guy, Daniel, a little bit. He's the flat earther. We have the flat earth debate at the Kensington Club at 9 p.m.
I'm looking forward to this a lot.
By the way, you do not know how many people that I've told about this don't believe this guy exists or that anyone would ever have that mentality that wasn't like in an institution.
So we have to have another debate whether this guy exists.
That's right.
Versus
the world.
For those of you who think that, let me add some new information to your pot.
Mm-hmm.
So I was following this online. He has found our event page and was promoting it. And all of a sudden, a bunch of people, presumably his friends or people who follow him or something, started commenting on this particular debate, who are apparently flat earthers themselves.
Jesus fucking Christ.
And they were wondering why there's not a flat earth meetup group in San Diego. And so this has become the official first meeting of the flat earth meetup group.
What
for
an honor.
San Diego.
Oh, God.
So, for those of you who are wondering if he would get his fair chance, yes, he will, and he will have his segment of the audience. So hopefully...
How many fucking people are going?
Apparently a few.
The Ken Club's a pretty big room, too.
Dozens of people?
We don't know yet. So there will be, and they are pretty diehard guys. So if you would like to come out for reason and science, we would love to have you out there as a.
I think we need you now.
I think it's going to turn into the West Side Story with
the Sharks and the Jets. Yeah.
Now, again, the only thing is that I'm a little worried about is that all of a sudden, out of nowhere, somebody's just going to start yelling, Baba Booey, Baba Booey, in the middle of one of my points. I'm comfortable with him having his audience in the whole nine yards, but it would be nice to have some, let's just say, reasonable people at the debate as well.
And people's minds aren't already made up, or maybe they are for the...
Right, so if you are somebody who maybe thinks that the Earth is a sphere and we all live in a universe as we've been conventionally taught, then maybe it might behoove you to come on out to something like this to make sure that at least the tape segments don't sound like, I don't know, we're all in a fucking nut house. So
I'm just praying I don't hear the word shots fired. That's all I care about.
That's right.
At this point, I'm praying for no murders.
And from what I've seen on some of the posts, there are quite aggressive. So just It will be very interesting.
So as moderator, I'm going to have my fucking hands tied.
You are going to have your hands
full.
You're going to have your hands full 110%. And also, you know, I think I will as well. This will be an interesting one.
So when I say this gentleman's credits include never going to school, are they going to all start clapping? Like, ooh.
That's our guy.
As long as you don't bring up the teacher's aid thing. Like we said before, they're contradictory.
He said he's never been to school, yet he was a student aide. So he's a liar. Anyway.
I don't know, being self-taught is the only way to get an education, but he was also a teacher's aide. So who was he helping?
Yeah. I was my own teacher's aide.
I was bringing him down from the inside. I was working against him.
So this Thursday, July 13th at 9 p.m. at the Kensington Club. Get there a little bit early because hopefully we will have a big showing. So we want to make sure everybody gets seats and they're not coming in right as everything is starting. So please get on there around 8:45 at the latest if you can. Come on out. Support whatever side you want to support, or just come out with an open mind and support the truth as is presented to you by either side, whichever you feel makes a convincing argument.
But either way, stay woke.
Yeah.
On that note, I'm Ryan for I almost said Dave, for Grooves and Bobby. Grooves, thanks for being here.
No problem,
in,
anytime.
See you next week, Cruising with the Twos.
I'm in the 12-step program for Dick.
Oh, yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing by.
I'm going to start preying on addicted single mothers and having them move into my house for sex.